Don't you think it's a beautiful day to talk about the Lord? Amen. Amen. So, what has been burning in my heart today, this week, is something that I've never preached on. I've mentioned it a few times, but it's always been in a bad light. But I've been in a journey. I'm on a learning curve of the things of God, and it's a steep learning curve. And it has really become a reality, Jesus' parable of the talents, of when you receive the talent and we receive Jesus, that revelation, we receive Him, then more revelation concerning the things of the kingdom of God, that is an access to His wealth, the kingdom wealth. And that wealth is for our spirit, for our soul, and for our body. It's for our eternal living, and it's for our temporal living here today. And so I'm just, the Holy Spirit and I are just, man, I'm just having so much fun. I tell you, I'm living my dream. So I'm ministering again today out of the overflow of my heart. And I'm just so full I could just burst. But I'm going to start kind of again with apology here, guys. I apologize for being wrong so many years, but pray in the Holy Spirit, just bring this truth to you today. And what I've never preached on, a whole sermon, a message, is that of feelings. Feelings. I was raised to ignore my feelings. That we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. Now, the scripture doesn't say that, but that was the way it was quoted. And, you know, we don't walk by our feelings, we walk by faith. Scripture says we don't walk by sight, for we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. All of that comes in there too. But I, this week, just soaking in the Holy Ghost, I want you to consider what I see in scriptures and see if it means anything to you. Because what I have grown up with, that I am to ignore my feelings, is not something that was easy to do. And when I realized that that wasn't what God's expectation for us to do, is ignore our feelings, then we've missed something. And the very basic thing that I missed was that God created me to have feelings. That's the way I'm wired. I have emotions. Therefore, God must come. God must play a part in this. God must be a part of this thing about feelings. Now, we understand that there's a little bit about, you know, we make jokes, we make fun, and we have laughter and such about feelings, especially with the women, you know, that their moods can change, up and down, change. Well, men have feelings as well. So there's how we're the same people. We all have feelings, okay? So when it comes to addressing situations, problems, challenges, frustrations, there's where we're just a little bit different. We're wired different. Women are wired different than men. Men are task-oriented. Women are relationship-oriented, okay? And relationships have everything to do with feelings. When Mist and I were dating, this is where I began to learn this, and it was very frustrating to me. Because where she was relationship-oriented, mine was task-oriented and solving problems. And hers is, you need to know how I feel. And whether you like it or not, you're going to know how I feel. Or there's going to be an explosion. Well, the explosion was on my part because I'm saying, give me some time. I need to get away because I deal with feelings that are different from you. Guys typically deal with their feelings in withdrawal. Ladies, you need to learn that. Now, he'll get there, but he's not where you're at. You deal with your feelings by engaging. And if that's not responded to like you want, you try and try more to engage while he's trying to disengage. What I'm trying to tell you here is that we are all persons with feelings, and we deal with feelings in a different way. But how does God come into the picture with these feelings? Number one, feelings are valid. Husbands should never say to a wife, well, you shouldn't feel that way. I mean, you might want to plan on eating out by yourself somewhere, by the way, that evening, because you have invalidated her feelings. And we will stay engaged with her till death do us part if we validate her feelings. Ladies, you will enjoy the fruit of your vows till death do us part if you will let him behave in such a way that God wired him to, and that is withdrawal. Because he's going to need that. Understand, you cannot fix the problem based on how your... Ladies, you cannot fix the problem based on the way your needs are met. Men, you cannot fix a problem based on the way... You cannot fix a problem with your wife or repair or restore whatever that problem is. You cannot fix that trying to approach it by the way your needs are met. Men and women have got to get a hold of that. So, but what about this area of feelings? Because I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you had feelings rear up this week? Okay. Did you live all week just crazy wild with laughter because your feelings were so good? No. Did you maybe cry because of some feelings you had this week? Did you smile and shout because of some of those feelings you had this week? Or did your face turn red and you begin to shake because of anger feelings? God is in all of this. But where... How are we supposed to deal with these things? God made us creatures of feelings, and then he did not just move back away and not be engaged with us in our feelings. I want to begin in the book of Proverbs, I believe. And I want to try to begin to unfold the scriptures for you as I begin to see them unfold. And you have heard me quote one verse quite often in Proverbs chapter 4, and that's verse 23, that says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I really hope we're getting that seated in our person, both in our heart and in our mind. Know that God says, guard your heart above all else. Not guard your family. Not guard your marriage, not guard your job, not even guard your kids first. He says, guard your heart above all else. And when our heart is properly guarded, then our marriage is going to be guarded, our friendships are going to be guarded, other relationships are going to be guarded, our kids are going to be guarded. And so all of those others come secondary. Every issue in our life comes secondary to that one right there. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your kids don't determine the course of your life. Your education does not determine the course of your life. I have knowledge of, probably as you, there's been a lot of people who have gone to college, got a degree, and they're not living in that kind of career because of their education. But you would say to them, that degree's not even connected to what you're doing. How in the world is that happening? It's not your education that determines the course of your life. There's one thing that determines the course of your life. It's your heart. That's why I say over and over in ministry and in counseling, Mist and I are not marriage counselors. We're not career counselors. We are biblical counselors that deal with the heart. Because we know, we have come to this understanding that if we can influence the heart with the power of God, if we can influence the heart with the Word of God, then these other things are going to begin to fall in place. And so here it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Here's a question. Now, I came to that realization years ago, but there was something missing. Okay, it said, guard your heart, but how am I to guard my heart? And what is it that's coming into my heart or influencing my heart that I need to be aware of? What if it's going to determine the course of my life, then I need to understand what is it that I guard my heart with? What are the influences on my heart that make it choose a healthy course or a destructive course? I pray the Holy Spirit show you some things as I see in the Scriptures. So as following what I've come to in the last 7 years, context, context, context. Let's look up to verse 20 to see what he said before he says this. My child, pay attention to what I say and listen carefully to my words. You know who's speaking here? Wisdom. This is wisdom speaking. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate. Look where it said. Let them what? Words of wisdom. Let those words of wisdom penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them, and healing to all, or healing to their whole body. Did you see that? The words of wisdom that goes into the heart will bring healing to your body. That's why he says to guard, and he says that in the next verse then. That's why we guard our hearts, because what comes into our heart will determine the course of our life, and the words that we have, the words that of wisdom that we receive, will produce life. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is your life right now what you desire it to be? Is your life right now what do you desire it to be? Many people will say no. If you're Cecil Hall living on 114 Hillcrest Drive, he's going to say no, because my life is presently not what I would like it to be, but it is a result of what I have believed. Because my heart determines the course of my life. And so the words of wisdom that I give my heart, or the words of condemnation, judgment, evil, hatred. Let me tell you, your heart will receive whatever you give it. That's why he puts it in our hands. It is our responsibility. How is it that he can say, you guard your heart? Where is the you part doing? Here's your doing. If you wanted to have something to do, we've been preaching the grace of God, that finished work that is done. But if you're determined to do the do, here's the do that he says to do. That is, you guard your heart. You know where you do that? Right here. The thinking. Also, Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Wow. Okay. So we have that ability to make the decision to guard our heart and to filter what's going to come into our heart, or what is going to what is going to guard our heart. And here is what I'm going to just spill it out like this. Okay? This is what I've seen. And I'm going to show you scriptures that I see unfolded. How is it then, if the heart is determining the course of our life, how do I engage the heart? How do I engage the heart? If the heart is so powerful, how am I going to engage the heart? Now, this is the male talking because I'm task-oriented. I'm not relationship feelings-oriented. I'm task-related. I'm task-oriented. Preacher, tell me what to do so I can conquer this mountain because my life is not going down the course that I want. I'm not at the place where I would want it to be. So you tell me what to do. So he says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here's what I want to tell you, this truth of how we engage the heart, and then I want to build on that to try to clarify that. And here it is. Write it down. Feelings are the way you engage the heart. Ladies, you've been doing this for years. Feelings are the way that you engage the heart. Do you understand that feelings are not out here? Now, I'm talking about emotional feelings, okay? Obviously, physical feelings are out there. You put it in fire, it's going to burn, you're going to draw it back, okay? I'm talking about emotional feelings. It is not in our hand. Emotional feelings is not up in our head. So, identify where the feelings are. Hey, those of you who have grandkids, and they bring such joy to you, you are not feeling that joy in your heel. Where do you feel that joy? It's something happening right in here, on the very core of who you are, in the very being of who you are, where you have your... Here is where you have your feelings. Your feelings is in your heart. I read this incredible thing. Maybe it was in a book Mrs. is reading or whatever. But there's scientific evidence that when a person has open heart surgery, it's typical that they go through a season of depression. There's something about that. And you know what? Science is not just a thing that God is disconnected from. He made the universe. Science... True science only affirms God and reveals God. Okay? So, feelings, let me say this again. Feelings are the way that we engage the heart. You say, boy, the heart is wicked and above all things. Jeremiah said it's wicked above all things. Who can know it? Let me tell you something. Since that was written under an old covenant, under the identity of Adam, thank you, I forgot his name. Thank God, I'm leaving that identity. I can't even remember his name anymore. Okay, did you know that's not the way it is anymore? Your heart is no longer evil. Because in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to make a new covenant and I'm going to take your heart of stone and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. A heart of stone is hard and dead and inanimate. But a heart of flesh is living. You have a living heart. You no longer have an evil, wicked heart. If you do, you need to get saved. Yo, believer. You don't have an evil, wicked heart anymore. You have the mind of Christ, and God has given you a new spirit, a new heart. God gave you a new heart. You no longer have a wicked, evil, deceiving heart. It's not deceiving, but it does need discovered. You know there's a difference between something deceiving and something hidden? Our heart needs to be discovered. And a lot of times what is in our heart, no, I'm going to take that back. Not a lot, because the scripture says what is in our heart, it determining the course of our life It exposes what is in our heart. And then when the Holy Spirit shows us something in our heart that is a belief, I'm talking about a belief on our heart, so that we can repent, that is changing our thinking. So the feelings. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, teach me if this is true or if it isn't. And the Holy Spirit will do that. But feelings is how we engage the heart. I was told to ignore my feelings. Or it would even be worse. That feeling bad is good for you. Feeling bad was good for you. And in my old time preaching was, I would measure my success of preaching by how full the altars were when I preached on sin. Oh, that was a great sermon. Why? I probably wouldn't say that, but here's the reality of it. Because I got people feeling so bad that they responded here and felt like they needed to accomplish something with God. So there's that idea that feeling bad then is good for you. No, sir. If that's the case, then the gospel should not be a thing, because the gospel is the good news. And I'm going to tell you what will happen with everybody. Good news will make you feel good. Don't answer yes or no on this. You ever go and buy one of those lottery tickets and win a little something? Okay. Well, that felt pretty good. Now, I'm not going to say that's right or wrong or good or bad, because that's not an issue. But here's an observation I made. There was a guy standing at a convenience store, and he put down $6, I believe is what it was. I don't remember. It was a small amount, $6. And he said, I want that one, I want that one, I want that. And he began to scratch, and the guy right in front of my eyes won $25. He didn't puke, get mad, or storm out. This guy got happy. You know what? Why? Because that was good news, and that made him feel good. I'm going to tell you what should make you feel good, knowing that your Father is not mad at you. He's not holding your sins against you. 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world, and you were in the world. He reconciled the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. And then he gave me, the same Father gave me the same thing that he gave Jesus. That's what the scripture says. Everything that the Father gave Jesus is mine too. Whee-wee. $25 lottery ticket ain't nothing compared to what we have. And yet we're not living the abundant life. I want to tell you, Cecil's not living the abundant life as I know I should. There's something been missing in my life. God is showing me that. I tell you, I'm on a learning curve. And I know that there is no condemnation. God does not have any condemnation, judgment, anger toward me, that he sees me as blameless, faultless, holy, pure, all of that in the Spirit. I know that. I know that in my spirit. But Cecil Hall is not living the abundant life in this world. He's struggling. Why? There is a key that has been missing. And I've prayed and I said, God, what is it? And he says, it is your heart, son. You are where you are today because your heart has determined the course of your life. Now, guys, it's okay, Mister. Can I be real with you, or do you just want me to keep my mask on? Can I be real with you? Can Cecil just be Cecil? Are we family? I'm not living the abundant life because there's a belief in my heart. You say, whoa. Hey, guys, get your pastor. If you ever had your pastor on a pedestal, don't do that. That's too hard on him. And it's not right for you. If we put anybody on a pedestal, let's put Jesus on that pedestal and glorify him. But I'm going to tell you, that there's some things in my life, and that is some beliefs of my heart that's going to need change. But here's the glory of it, is that I'm beginning to see how my heart has changed, how I'm guarding my heart, or my heart is to be guarded so that there's a different course in my life. I want to share with you Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, well, before I say that, here's the truth. This came to me. Call it the Holy Spirit, call it Epiphany. I don't know. I think it was God. But think about this. Think about your marriage. Is it all roses? Are you walking through a garden of peace and tranquility? What about where you work? Is it bringing you to a point of exuberance? Are you loving showing up? Or are you just doing it because you know if you don't, you're not going to get a paycheck. And you have bills to pay. You have mortgage. You have this. You have that. What about friendships that you've had for years? My question is here, or my statement, I should say, is this. Is that whatever area your life is not at peace and you're in turmoil about it, that is feeling bad. You're feeling bad about it. You're feeling bad about how something is going on in your own life. You're feeling bad about something going on in your friend's life, your family's life. You're feeling bad about the way things are now in the church. You're feeling bad because the church is not what you need. It's not meeting your need right now. And so you're feeling bad about that. You're feeling bad about the things they are with our county, with our state. You're feeling bad about the way things are in our nation with all the turmoil and division and stuff that is going on. You're feeling bad. Here's the deal. Stress is the child of feeling bad. Stress is the child of feeling bad. God does not want you to be stressed. He wants you to not only be doing good, and I'm not talking in our behavior, but you have a sense of well-being. You have well-being in your house. You have well-being in your life. That's the life God wants you to live, is a well-being life. That's what the abundant life is. That is, you're not feeling bad about what you owe. You're not feeling bad about your relationships. You're not feeling bad about your job. God wants you to enjoy your relationships. He wants you to enjoy your environment. God wants you to enjoy your job. Because all of this, if we're not enjoying it, stress. And stress is a killer. Stress causes sickness and disease. Stress causes cancer. I don't know if you know that or not. Stress. That's why we need to feel good. Because when we're feeling good, we're not feeling stress. You say, man, I've had people saying this about us and about others. Well, you know, they're just preaching that feel-good gospel. Thank God you heard me say that. Because feeling good is what God wants you to do. That's why He calls it the good news. Because He knows the good news is going to make you feel good. What did Jesus tell John the Baptist's disciples? Said, hey, John wanted us. Are you really Him? Are you really Him? What proof do you have for us to give back to John that you are Him? And He says, tell the poor, I am Him. You know why? Because that's good news to the poor. Because you're going to come into the abundance of the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness. Therein is that parable of the talents where the master gave to the slave who was poor, owned nothing, not a dime to his name. And then the master gave him a million, 3.6 million, 9 million, multiplied to 18 million. That's why the good news to the poor is so good, because it makes them feel good. What I'm talking about today is the way you engage your heart is through feelings. That's how we engage our heart. Let me go to Hebrews now, chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Infirmities is weakness. It can include a sickness, but and according to the Greek dictionary, it can include sickness, but it is a weakness. A weakness. Guys, we have a weakness. Ladies, you have weaknesses. I'm not talking diseases. I'm talking about weaknesses. I have a weakness because I have a whole lot learned, a lot more to learn about pastoring a church. What I do not know yet is my weakness. But he is touched with the, look at that word he uses. He is touched with our feelings. That's why we don't expect any more. I don't expect any more to disregard or ignore my feelings because that's how I touch God. Listen to that. He is touched with our feelings. You want to touch God? You touch him with his feeling, with your feelings. You engage the heart. You engage the heart. God has given you complete control over your mind. You can determine. You can change your thoughts. You can change your mind. You say, but I can't control my feelings. Yes, you can. Feelings will happen in a moment like that, but after that split second, God gives us the ability to do something with our feelings. And when we do something with our feelings, we are engaging the heart. This is more than mind over matter. This is engaging the heart. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 9, see what that says. Paul says, now I appeal to Euodia and to Synthi, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Also, be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pause for just a moment. He says, don't worry about anything. Now, if you can't see something here, then I would say you need to get somebody to give you CPR and mouth-to-mouth because that's how dead you are. Hear what this says? Don't worry. If you can't see that feelings are not connected in worry, you need to wake up to something. Do you realize worry is not just merely a thought, but it has an emotion that is tucked with it so tightly that it cannot be separated? Worry has feelings involved. Now he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now I wonder what praying does about worrying. Let me change that then. Since feelings are involved in worrying, let me say it like this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, or pray about those feelings. Those feelings. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Whoa, now I'm going to come back to that. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace. Now we have two diabolically opposing things here. Worry and peace. Hello? Peace has a feeling. You can't talk peace without knowing that there is a feeling about peace. It is peace and feeling is so interconnected just as much as worry and feeling that cannot be separated or divided. So we know that we are serving a God that has created feelings, and we as humans experience moments of worry and moments of peace. Look what he says here. He said, and so don't worry about anything, but instead pray. Here's where we engage the heart. And in our prayer, he said, we give thanks. Here's what we're doing. We're changing our thinking from all the negativity, all the anger, all the hurt, all the disappointments. And what are we doing? We're changing our focus from the external, and we are dealing with this thing from the heart, and we are engaging with our feelings. How are we engaging with our feelings? I'm going to tell you, I have put this to practice. Not nearly so much as I should, but I'm going to do better. And that is, I change my feelings by being thankful for what I do have. That is a huge secret, people, is being thankful for what you do have. And in our minds, we're thinking about, my car is broken down, my retirement is being threatened, my job is insecure. And here we go, we're thinking about those things. God, give us the power to control our thinking that will control our praying. And what we do there is we begin to thank God. What do we thank God for? I thank you, God, that you're not mad at me. I thank you, God, that you have given me all that you gave Jesus. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for my grandchildren. What you can be thankful for, express that with your words. Don't simply think about it. Don't simply, I don't know how else to say it. Don't just simply think about it. You let those words come out with your mouth so that your ears can hear and sink it down in your heart. And I can tell you, there's never been a time where I was down in the doldrums when I turned my focus to thanksgiving that my feelings didn't change. My feelings will change. Think back on a moment you had this week. Stressful. God has given us the power with our feelings to connect with Him because He is touched with our feelings. That's how we touch God, with our feelings. Repeating a prayer will get nowhere. I don't have that in my notes. That just came to me. That's why when Jesus said, when they said, teach us to pray, people have taken what He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They say that out of memory and out of rote and have not touched God one bit because they have not come into that feeling of connecting with God. And they thought the prayer was speaking words to God. No, prayer is experiencing God. Did you know that you can enjoy beautiful pictures of people's vacation on Facebook? Did you also know that ain't nothing like it when you're there yourself? Because I don't care how good a camera you have, they cannot give you the same feeling of being right there. Whew. We read the stories about Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, walking at the Sea of Galilee. But you know what? I never engaged God like I did when I was in Israel myself, and I imagined Jesus' footsteps along the Sea of Galilee. I'm going, woo! He was right here. I got goosebumps right now just imagining this. I'm walking where Jesus did. There's nothing like feeling. That's how we engage the heart. To connect with God is through our feelings because He is touched with our feelings. Now, He says in that passage, I'm bringing this to a close, He says, thank Him for all He has done, and then you will experience God's peace. So when we are thanking God for everything we can think of, if there's something wrong with this church, quit focusing on the things that we are short in or doing here. Think on the blessing. There is something that you can thank God about this church. There's something that you can thank God about your family, about your wife. As disruptive and as tough as it is to raise your kids, there's something you can thank God about your kids, your job. There's something. If nothing else, thank God for the check. Oh, you can thank God for the check. You might not be in the best attitude now, but you can thank Him for the check. And then after you do that, then the feelings start kicking in. Look what he says. Then you will experience God's peace. You will begin to have the feeling. And he says, which exceeds anything you can understand. Oh, my goodness. Do you see what this next sentence says? And his peace will guard your heart. His peace will guard your heart. Does that bring a whole new glorious light on Proverbs 4:23? Guard your heart with all diligence, for it determines the course of your life. So how are we guarding our heart? We're guarding our heart with His peace. His peace, that feeling. See, we're engaging God with our feeling. And He says, it is His peace that guards our hearts and our minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You know what those are? Extremely great descriptions of what we have in Jesus and who we are in Him. It's true that I'm righteous, blameless, faultless, pure, holy. Think on those things that are pure. That's Him and how He sees me. Lovely. Oh, He's lovely. And how He sees me, how He sees me is lovely. Think on those things. And it says, think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Here's the truth. You can write this down. What you feel becomes your reality. What you feel, not what you think. It's not just positive thoughts. We're talking about engaging God with our heart, that is, with our feelings. And what you feel becomes your reality. Okay, so here's my being transparent with you. I've had a problem. I've had a fault, I should say, my whole life. Started when I was young. I came out screaming when I was born. But I've had this fault that as a mechanic, if my wrench slips and I crack a knuckle, that wrench is going to hit something. Or if I'm getting in the car or the truck and I bump my head, something's going to get hit. Okay? I'm just being real with you. 3-4 weeks ago, Mist and I went to the drive-in theater. And Mist, I don't know where she got this. She has this little medallion. Medallion means medal. It has sharp edges. Clipped, it's an angel, but it's clipped on the sun visor. She's had it up there for years. Well, I got in the van, and I didn't lower my head far enough, and where that door frame goes in like this, I hit that thing square on top of my head and made me mad. If I was mechanicking, something would have got hit with a wrench. But it's this anger. When I get hurt, I get angry. And I want to hit something or throw something. So I get in there. Oh, no, excuse me. It wasn't the door thing. It was the sun visor was down just a little bit. And I just hit it right on so that it didn't have any flexibility and hit on there on my head as I went in there like there. So I sit down and I thought, man, you're not up. You're going to go up now. And I go, wham! That medallion cut my fist right there. And I had this wound for 3 weeks. It's all healed over now. But I didn't let her see that. Did you ever see it?
I saw it on your hand that I figured you did it. I had no idea it was a fit.
No. It wasn't a good fit. What I'm trying to say to you is your feelings will become your reality. If I would have overcome that feeling, the reality was I wouldn't have done this. Happened again this week. I bought this cheese in a can, you know, the kind you can squirt on a cracker? And I have this place, I put it in my black cabinet with all my keto stuff. Now, my keto stuff is my almond flour. I don't eat sugar, but they have this erythritol. It's a fake, it's a sugar replacement, if you will. It's good for people on keto and stuff. So I have these bags there. These bags are plastic bags, and they have a zipper top. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So I put the can of cheese on the shelf, and that stupid sugar bag was such that it just pushed it right back off on the floor. Aww. And I stooped over and picked it up, and I said, oh, you won't go in. You're going to go in now. Like this. And the sugar just goes. My feelings became reality. Your feelings will become reality. This could happen to somebody. They live in the city, and suddenly they want to have a farm. And they begin to think about that. And they have good feelings about that. Oh, they dream about the ducks. They dream about the cow. They dream about the chickens and that rooster crowing in the morning when the sun comes up. He gets confused. Is he always doing it in the day too? But those feelings are engaged, and that continues to go, and they continue to feel that good feeling that having this farm. You know what they do? They sell their house and they move out there and they get themselves a little farm. That feeling becomes a reality. I'm telling you, your feelings become your reality. What's your feelings right now? Uh-oh. Here's what we sew it up with. Job said, that which I have feared has come upon. Fear is a feeling. It comes from a belief, but fear is a feeling. I'm just overflowing on you what God is showing me, and this is how I have seen these scriptures unfold. You do with it as you like, but I think this can be a game changer for a lot of us. I have a feeling that I'm hungry. In just a moment, that feeling is going to become a reality. You think that's funny, but that's just the way it works. Now, consider that in every and longer term areas of your life, your feelings become reality. And God made us with those feelings. He's touched with our feelings. I want to pray for you because some of you have had some bad feelings this week. And it's stressful. And it's not God's desire nor His design for you. But He has given you every ability because He said He has given us, already has given us, everything in regard that regards to this life and God-likeness. Whoa! Wait a minute. He has given us everything in regard to God-likeness. Ha 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 ha. This is oversimplification, but one day, God had this feeling, I'm going to make me some kids. And you know what He did? He created. It was conceived in the heart and the mind of God. That's probably way too deep for us to even consider that God would even one day, whatever, they weren't even created. Okay? What I'm saying is, God had a heart and feeling. He wanted to have relationship. You know, you were never created to glorify God. You were not created to worship God. You were created for one purpose, for God to love you. God wanted you to love you because love has to have an outlet, and God created us. That means you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive. Receive from God. There's those two parables again of Jesus. So let's just... Jack, play something. We're looking for a stress reliever right now. His name is Jesus. And thoughts of His goodness to us will relieve that stress. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, there's a jillion and one things that I can thank you for. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my two children. Thank you for my grandbabies. Thank you for life. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my church family. Oh, Lord, I'm just loving them, getting deeper and deeper and deeper in love with this church family that you have given me. Oh, they're so beautiful. I can see you in them. I thank you, oh God. Lord, I thank you for that old mower that I have. It's because I have a yard to mow. I own my own land. So I thank you for that. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.